Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks. I'm at LAX. It's 8 p.m. on a Monday. Incredibly crowded. One of the worst places on earth. The opposite of Disneyland. I am picking up Karen Kilgariff, who is supposed to be right here. I do not see her. The Great Lakes sign. Huh. Oh, there she is down there a ways. She was in Portland. We're going to talk about her trip to Portland. If this asshole Prius will move. You're not picking her up. I am. That's right. It's almost like he heard me. Hello there. Sorry.
Back here.
I just have wardrobe and stuff.
Is that okay?
Totally.
Okay.
And then, when I say she has a lot of baggage, I'm not talking about old relationships. No, it's only two bags and a guitar. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
We are on the air.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Boy.
Hi.
Monday nights, huh?
Yeah.
I think Mondays are a popular time to be arriving.
I agree. Excuse me.
Everyone here just wants to be popular.
How are you doing? How did you do hosting alone?
I did okay. You mean right now?
Yes.
So far, it's been okay. We're about 2 minutes in.
Did you get that feeling where you thought you might be going crazy?
No. I've actually been pretty calm. Well, but then someone like him, it's okay. That's probably...
You gotta stay on your toes.
How they do it. Where he learned to drive.
Oh,
where he learned
to
drive.
Yes.
He seems like
race
he took...
Race-based or country-based?
I think it looks like he learned to drive in the Riverside area. So
ooh,
it's actually regional.
Save.
Regionalism.
Nice.
I hate to be regionalistic, but...
Hey, Reg.
Thank you, Kathy Ripa. Kelly... Kelly,
Kathy Grippa?
Yes.
The redhead that's very strong alcoholic content?
I've really... What's her morning show where she just drinks wine?
Oh, that's Kathy Lee and Hoda?
And Hoda.
Yeah.
Made popular by Star Wars. For some reason, I enjoy them.
I bet they don't give a fuck. That's
they
why.
They don't give a fuck.
Just like us.
It's the same reason I'm voting for Trump. Just kidding.
What?
Come on. Come on.
Wait, did you see James Adomian and that guy who does Trump so dead on? It's crazy.
No.
It looks nothing like him.
Did they do like a debate?
Yes. It was a fake debate at UCB and people keep posting it on Twitter. And it's just, it's as genius as you've seen James Adomian be. But then there's this other New York comic. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. It's like... it's very long. It seems like he's Greek or something.
Kostaki Economopoulos.
Nope. And he does a Trump, like not the blowhard Trump, like the real reasonable smarmy Trump. And it's so funny.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So he's not going, you're an idiot. He's not going that route.
No, it's the like the quieter, nuanced,
the presidential Trump.
He tries to act so reasonable. It's so funny. You gotta watch it.
That sounds really great.
What have you been doing?
I visited a friend at the hospital. It was horrifying. Maybe we can talk about that off.
Okay.
Camera. We're on camera, right?
Yes, we are.
Note the GoPro.
I'm wearing a GoPro on my head.
So that was hard. We'll maybe at the end talk about that. Because it would be neat if people donated to the GoFund. But other than that, I didn't do much today. I did a podcast with Brendejo Walsh.
Nice.
Brendejo Walsh.
Is that his new stage name?
He goes by Brendejo because I think he used to work at a kitchen and people called him Pendejo, which isn't, I can't remember his joke, but he has a joke about Pendejo.
Okay.
I think it means the sucker of many wieners or something.
Great.
But he goes by
kitchen humor, like.
Oh, I wish I hadn't said anything so far.
Come on, what? Is that off of my judgmental eye?
No. Please. It's me judging myself after everything I say, which is what I do.
Which is what we all do.
I judge every day. I judge the idea to have a podcast that goes to the airport.
Listen,
because it brings me grief.
It is grief-filled. We are constantly grief-stricken. Mm-hmm. I listen to these episodes and then I go, why do I say yeah all the time? Why do I laugh constantly? Why this?
Well,
why that?
I'll
why wasn't my mother
one.
Nice to me?
Oh,
yeah. Here's the thing.
It's hard
Fuck
to
it.
Figure
Who
that
cares?
Out.
People like it.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure that one out.
It is
it
hard.
And it doesn't matter anymore is the worst part.
Yeah.
So guess what?
What's done, it's done.
Let's live our goddamn lives and celebrate good times. Come on.
Wow, you came off that plane really positive.
I had a great weekend because it was like vacation, but I was up in Portland at the All Jane Women's
no,
Comedy Festival.
All Jane, comma, no Dick?
No. It's just called All Jane.
Oh, good.
That was like an early thing, and then they dropped
it.
Yeah,
there's a reason you would drop the dick.
Yeah. I think it actually was named after. So Stacey Halal is one of the women that runs mm-hmm. it, and she used to be in a two-woman sketch show that was called that. So they just thought it was okay, and then, of course, people don't like that.
No. Men, you know, what's a new exciting thing is men defending being men. It's very fun to listen to. And as a man, makes me proud.
I bet it does. Well, you know, we've all got to have, we've got to talk about things. People don't like talking, but eventually we're going to evolve so that we can have conversations where people want to change within it as opposed to scream down other people.
Right.
I see. That's going to be around 2045.
We will make changes just to change the conversations as we get sick of them. That's the reason for change, is to change the conversations about change.
That's exactly right. Because those changeful conversations are the most boring. Like
right.
this exact one.
And if changing this conversation, which I will after this statement.
Oh,
brings,
I will before the it.
Brings, okay.
No.
That, before it concludes, I will conclude it for you.
I will conclude it, also known as interrupting. Can I just reenact one
yeah,
of my...
I'm not interrupting you. I'm just concluding your sentence for you.
I decided you're done. That's really, I think that's why interrupting infuriates me so badly, is the assumption that you think my speech is even halfway done, that it's your time to talk.
Right.
When in fact, I will go for a solid 3 minutes.
I was just getting started, as they say.
As they say in show business.
Yes, everything they say.
They say
well.
Like Carol Channing.
They do it during the business of show.
Show business, everybody.
That's where we come from. Oh, it's hard to do that voice.
It's very
isn't
hard.
It? Just made you calm.
And I've been party style smoking all weekend.
Oh, you've been party cig smoking?
I sometimes when I want to party, and as we all, I've complained time and again to you that I can't drink. So sometimes partying will mean rolling my own cigarette and standing
right.
off like a French girl, not talking to people. That's my...
When you roll your own, that's the best thing you can do, aside from just not doing it, is because it makes you work for it.
Yes.
It makes you look forward to it, and it makes you not smoke frivolously.
True.
Yeah.
And it also is aging my face like a Greek fisherman from 1925.
Well, yeah. Oh, God, it's so hard to have that job in Greece. Just the derm.
The stress. Your skin cancer.
Not to mention all the needless drowning, because as most people know, Greek boats, no guardrail.
Oh, yeah. They are quite sloppy.
They have to turn everything into an extreme sport, Greece.
No guardrail.
Yeah.
It's just these open ships. You wouldn't believe it.
I want to change the conversation about Greek fishing boats.
Please, God, please.
To one about how was Portland?
It was super fun. We should do that when we have guests, be insanely sarcastic the entire time. And even if they start crying, begging us to not talk that way, we should do it.
Oh,
I enjoy it.
We need to have more episodes where we make people cry. Have we even come close?
I don't know. I don't think we have.
Oh, Todd Berry broke down.
Did he? I missed crying with Todd Berry.
Yeah.
Killed me to miss it. Killed me to miss it. No, we had a great time, and
yes,
there was tons of really good stand-up comics there.
Oh, that's great.
I had a little bit of the snobby, you know, I'm from 90s stand-up comedy.
Right.
So back then this was before the internet, you were allowed to have opinions about other people, and you were allowed to talk freely about them often, and instead of analyzing your own insecurity and issues with self-worth, you were instead would go ahead and just rip other comics to shreds.
Right, and people are doing that less and less these days in some desperate attempt to be of a mentally healthier bullshit.
It's
like
a pathetic attempt to be grown up and to take responsibility and really just to focus on probably better things like your act or writing good jokes.
Yeah, selfish things.
Selfish things,
yes. In the early 90s, people were less selfish. They talked more about other people, albeit negative.
Yeah.
It was fun also. It's also fun to talk badly about other people.
It's fun just to talk.
I love it. Who are we talking bad about?
Oh, no.
Who'd you see that stunk it up?
When I go into any situation that's qualified in any way, mm-hmm, and that's usually my thing with all female shows or all female festivals, which I've never heard of any before. This is the only one I know about. I really resent the qualification because
right,
I have raised myself up in my comedy life trying to not be qualified by my gender.
Right.
And because of that, I wear a lot of bootcut jeans, and I tell people to fuck off in a loud voice.
Okay, that's why you do those two things.
There's other reasons. I could give them to you.
You are also a cowboy.
I'm a cowboy.
With Tourette's.
The list goes on. I'm a cowgirl. I raise my own goats to make goat cheese.
Well, that's what I don't like. Yeah, that when you
about
say
me.
This is an all fe- about you, when you say this is an all female show,
yeah,
people like you,
uh-huh,
and everyone else will adjust their expectations to be okay. Get ready for some estrogen.
Yes,
I don't think it's fair.
It's a weird. It's almost like you're putting people in the position. Well, no, this is my judgment I'm saying. It's like you're putting people in a position to choose to qualify you or say, oh, they're separate and they're not, you know, the word comedian applies to everybody, in my opinion. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I go there with a little bit of some of these people will have gotten in on under false pretenses or there's not that many of us. I was worried about the quality is what I'm saying.
Right.
And I was so delighted by the fact that there were so many great comics. It's that irony of, like, don't worry about the quality of anybody else. Worry about your own
stuff.
Because there was definitely a couple times where I was like, I don't have enough hard jokes. I don't have enough new material. You had to do repeated sets. And I, of course, was doing a lot of those songs and some of my new one-liners. But still not. There are people who have these huge amounts of material, and they're so fun to watch. And just great comics. Like, I think the audiences were also really delighted.
Yeah.
And every show I was on, there'd be like 7-person shows and just truly, legitimately solid all the way through.
Who's someone that stands out to you that you knew was good, A, and B, someone that's new that you didn't know about that kind of was great?
Let's see. Well, Heather Thompson, who is a comic around town, and she does a lot of shows. She's kind of in that, I would qualify her in that group or that class. The, you know, freshman, sophomore, they're actually, I would call them sophomore juniors at this point.
Right.
But in that group, I do shows with her on the same shows of Megan Keister and Barbara Gray and sure. Alan Strickland Williams and that kind
of
clique.
Those are all a bunch of kids.
The kids. Yeah. But they're not kid kids. They're
no,
not
they aren't anymore.
Yeah, they've been busting ass for a while.
Yeah.
And she's just... the thing I really like about her is she's got this very distinct personality on stage. And it's so hilarious. Like, she's just truly being herself.
I like how, while she's talking... It seems like she might break down into tears at any moment.
Yeah,
except that she's giggling also.
It's giggling, but it's like, is she going to start laughing and never stop?
Right.
Or is it going to be like full on crying and...
Yeah, watching her, it's like, seems like she's on the verge.
Yeah.
At the whole time of something emotional. Yeah.
But it's, what I realize is that it's energy. It's like her getting up there and being vulnerable and being like, this, I'm so nervous, this matters, but she's got the material to back it up, so there's never a pause of you being worried about
right.
her performance. She's just actually being so real. So it almost like double credits her
right.
when she's done with the set and she's got all these great jokes and she's acted that nervous, you almost feel like you probably love her more.
Yeah.
You know, it's that I've always seen her really kill.
And
so she was there.
When I started, I thought being nervous and stammering and acting like I was uncomfortable would be my gimmick, too. And you're just kind of, for a while, I felt like I'd built up an obstacle for myself that made it harder. No one ever told me, go up there and be confident.
Right.
Like you rule the stage. No one ever said that, because that's not how I was raised.
And also, that's not real. Everybody knows that if you're on stage in front of a room full of people, you're nervous.
Right.
So putting on some kind of, like, swinging your dick around persona, no one buys it. It makes you look more nervous,
right.
actually. It's when people are truly confident and know what they're doing, they can be as vulnerable as they want to be.
Right.
That's the kind of power move.
And when I started becoming more confident, I would just drink tons of coffee to manufacture that nervous energy that I once had. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So much coffee just so I'd be like, what am I doing? I don't know. That's my impression of other people doing an impression of me. But let's
Can go. You now do Howard Kramer doing that's that it. Impression?
Well, you know, I just moved to Los Angeles with a skateboard, though. At the end, that was him.
That was a really nice mashup.
Yeah,
that was really well done. The person that I was thrilled to watch every time she did a set, I'm not going to be able to remember her last name.
Melissa Villasenor?
No.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't there.
I'm just showing off that I can pronounce it, but she's great.
Could you do that again with more of a Spanish L in that?
Were you trying to think of Melissa Villasenor?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no, I wasn't.
Villasenor?
Yeah,
she's great.
I have to look her up on Twitter. But her name is Naomi.
Okay.
Ekpiken or something.
Okay.
I'm so sorry for destroying your name. But she was on the second show. I had a show at 7:30, and then the second show that same night in the same club, Curious Comedy in Portland, which is a great, such a fun comedy club. New theater. It's like an improv theater comedy club thing.
Oh, wow. Great.
It's new.
I want to go there.
Yeah, it's very fun. We should totally go there.
Fun.
So she was on the second show headlining, and she was so goddamn hilarious, like the second. And she writes for Broad City. She's just really brilliant and one of these up and coming stand-ups from New York. So,
yeah.
But there was tons of people that were like that. Amy Miller was on it. She's the girl that was just on Last Comic that made it to the finals and is also from Portland. Emily Maya Mills was on it. She actually asked if either you or I want to do the 11 o'clock show, her show tonight.
I have a show within walking distance of the airport we're leaving.
No.
So I'm going to drop you off and go to...
my God, you're a goddamn saint.
Poncho's. It's a restaurant, but I do it a lot. And it's the guy's birthday, so I can't not do it.
Oh, okay.
I can not do it, but I'm not going to not do it.
I respect that.
I won't not do it.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. No, that's the way to be.
Well, I think we, in the future, should do Emily Mayalmiel's show.
Yes, for sure.
I pronounce her name much like Melissa Villasenor.
Yeah, Villasenor. There's many women of ethnic women that you can really put a zhuzh onto their name if you really think
just
about it.
For the sake of offending them or other people.
Uh-huh.
Or just for fun having.
Right. In-car fun having, which is our kind.
That's, we should have named the podcast that.
In Car Fun Having.
In Car Fun Having.
With Chris and Karen.
Parentheses, Russian accent. Well, anytime someone's in Portland, they're leaving for Portland, or they come back, not the third one, I'm jealous, because I do love it there.
I love it, and the weather was so perfect. It was cloudy, it misted, rained a tiny bit, but not that much. I got this Bill Murray purse.
You got a Bill Murray purse?
Can you see this shit? It's his...
Yeah, oh my God, girl. That's the best. He Isn't looks like... Are you sure it's him or is that guy from Narcos?
I know. Well, it's... This is his picture from when he was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
Only they made him look kind of like a Hindu god with the blue face.
Oh, that's so cool. That's such a cool Portland thing to get.
It is, right? And that, and then Pharrell earrings where he's wearing his tall hat.
Oh, that, yeah, his busboy hat?
Yeah.
Or, bellhop. I think.
No, the other one that looks like Smokey the Bear.
Oh, okay.
That crazy big hat?
Oh, okay. I don't know that I've seen it. I've just seen his bellhop fez.
Oh, no, this was old. This is from, like, 3 years ago. But okay. They had earrings there. And also, 2 Godzilla patches. I only needed one, but I literally bought the second one because I didn't want anyone else to have it.
Oh, that's great. That's so funny. Are
I'm
you
going
to, like, put it on a vest and every time you do your love song to Godzilla, wear your Godzilla vest?
Oh, that's a good idea. Or I'll probably leave it at the bottom of my junk drawer and never look at either of them again.
You know what? That's what I would do with it.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a patch. I'm not 15.
I have the only patches I've ever put on anything are the Nicorette ones. And I didn't have a smile. I just put it on my backpack.
You put it right on the knee of your jeans.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, it was just a fun time. And I stayed, you know, I have a slight perversion with hotels. I mean, I just love being in a hotel room.
Me too.
It's the greatest.
It's such a freedom. You don't have to do anything.
No, you have, it's usually silent. There's no pressure. You throw that do not disturb on the door.
Sleep all day.
Sleep, listen to podcasts, lose all track of time and where you belong in space and what's going on in your life.
Yeah, a lot of people think that's depression. No. I'm enjoying a hotel room.
I love depression.
Me too, if you use it right.
Well, and also, I was kind of using as like, well, I'm just getting my energy together for when I go do these shows and probably party after.
Right.
But, and literally every night at 11, I would go up to Stacey and be like, will you drive me back to my hotel? Like, I don't like it.
It wasn't probably like, during the festival in Portland, there is a pressure and you think you're missing out if you don't go to the after party.
Yeah.
And after a few nights of that, I just couldn't anymore. I'm like, I'm a grown-up, I cannot. And I come early, and then, sure enough, the next day, you missed it.
Of course. Well, and also,
Andy
there's
Kindler
so much...
breakdanced.
There's so much drinking all day long.
Right.
That by the time you hit that after party, most people are completely shit-faced.
Yeah.
And that's my only thing, is I don't have any patience for drunk people because I'm so actively jealous of the position they're in that it just drives me truly insane.
Well, even if I'm 2 hours from being able to have a drink myself for whatever reason, I can't be around drunk people myself. I can't even have 1 hour's gap of empathy. Does that even make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
You can't even do 3 beers in?
No.
Yeah.
Often there has been times where other people are intoxicated and I just start drinking myself so I can stop hating them.
Yes.
That's bad. That's peer pressure.
That's an internal peer pressure of there's a panel in your head that's not letting you accept the real moment.
You think it has something to do with my childhood?
I wouldn't go back that far.
Okay.
I'd say it was probably some mid-2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Something. What happened to you in the mid-2000s?
Well, a lot of bad Texas traffic. Sometimes it would get so bad I'd just pull over and get a tamale and some whiskey.
Oh, well, there it is.
That's
dug to the root.
Great.
Then this problem solved.
There's just one layer, and then we were there.
You know what? I feel like a lot of people could solve a lot of problems if they would just ask me first.
Just a moment's digging with courtesy and help of Karen Kilgariff.
Just one moment's digging, and you will know. Sorry.
The root of your problems.
I'm clearly full of beans. I think I have been alone for, 4 hours, I guess.
Uh-huh. You're full of beans.
I'm full of beans today.
You mean just silly, empty stories?
I guess so. I've been...
Or farting. You've been farting.
No. I won't fart.
That's what I mean.
I vow to never fart in your car.
Okay,
if I can help it.
Well, it's the reason you signed that paperwork.
Because your lease agreement is just... It's a linchpin element of that.
If it weren't for Bank of America being the actual owners of this car, you could fart all you want.
But the guy comes in for the fart check with that white glove.
It's like... We're just going to need to check the interior emissions, he says. I'm like, what's that
he
mean?
He says. And then I go, and he's like.
And then he's all, and then I'm like.
And then he smog checks my ass. That's what I'm talking about. Full of beans.
Dipstick.
What a dipstick. I do notice that listening to other podcasts, it's probably just making me be show-offier than normal because I so enjoy... Just insane bullshit that when other people are talking.
There we go. I'm gonna adjust.
Too loud, too quiet.
No, it started to get quiet, but that's okay. That's the
This is the part where I want us to pray.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise his name. He's down by the river swallowing fear. His name is Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's do that more.
in Jerusalem, that baby came. He plopped down in some dry grass. Then three old men came along with all the things a baby needs, like gold and mirror.
Mirror. The space shuttle mirror.
No, a cat with a speech impediment mirror. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, I get to go on Wednesday to a town that I like almost as much as Portland, Denver.
Can I get...
Oh, yes, but let me still do... Can you get what?
I was just going to say, can I guess?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Can I get Denver? No, you cannot.
I was going to guess Seattle. What club in Denver?
I haven't quite cracked the old Seattle scene.
I don't think they have, like, a big scene anymore like they used to.
Ain't much of a scene to be cracked there. Sorry.
Get out of town, cracker.
Yeah, sorry, Rainy City. I am doing a place. The main show is on Three Kings Tavern.
Sweet. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Main stage, which brings a tavern that kind of negates that word. It's like, whoa, multiple stages. Chris is doing well.
Yes.
And then bunch of shows at the Deer Pile, at Three Kings again, at another place.
Awesome.
I'll put them on my Twitter or whatever. But it's going to be fun. I love that town.
I love that town. And the comics there are so good at stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
For real.
And I get to work with probably all of them at some point.
That's great. There's a guy whose name I won't remember that's really good that I hope you see.
Oh, well, that's maybe enough to go on.
I think his first name's Aaron. And he was on the big show that what's his name that I'm blocking out?
Andrew Orvidal.
No.
Adam Klingel.
Jezelnik headlined.
Okay.
He was the, I think, first or second comic on that Brody hosted.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I guess I'm describing all that in case someone else knows. But anyway. He was a comic that you, if he was on Conan tomorrow, you would be like, hell yeah. But he's like a, you know. Probably a 5-year comic in Denver or something.
Oh, wow.
I just think they're churning out the good ones these days.
Yeah, they really are. They have such a supportive scene, and they are in charge of it.
Yes.
There's a couple clubs there called Comedy Works, which I would love to be working there and thought I was going to be doing a set at, but these guys have a whole scene going on with or without that club's help, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, the comedy festival there... It's great, and it doesn't even involve the comedy clubs. That's a pretty healthy run-by-comedians scene that they have.
It's very cool. And it's like, it felt big, but it also felt like quality. Like, I don't remember ever seeing anybody that didn't really make me laugh. I just think that these days, everybody being a stand-up comic. Like, at first when that was happening, it's like, grumble, grumble. Not just anybody can be a stand-up comic. And that's true, not just anybody. But, like, when you go to these cities and you see how what real support looks like, as opposed to, like, in the 90s where I came up in San Francisco, there were three clubs and you had to, like, scrape and beg to get into any of them.
Right.
And other than that, it were these crazy open mics and, like, weird, you know, bringer shows or whatever. Like, when you actually can do sets and there's people there that you can watch and learn how to do better. What am I talking about?
No, it's great. And it's weird that, because I used to...
I think I've lost my mind. What was I talking about?
I think I knew. And I
was explaining, like, the evolution of stand-up comedy to today. Shut up. Fuck off.
Well, the people that used to make you grumble, now they make you learn.
Now
right?
They make you bumble.
Is that what you were trying to say?
That's what it was.
What used to make us grumble, used to make us bumble. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
And we're back.
And hello again.
The last time I was on this freeway, I had to work on a show I've been doing stuff for. And I was supposed to be there at 3, but I thought, well, I'll leave way early and help out with some things, and I left at 1, and I got
2 hours
there,
to get there.
I got there in 2.5 hours.
No!
There, this freeway, and you were in Portland during this freeway was at a standstill to the point where people had gotten out of their cars, and they were standing next to their cars, stretching.
That's my fear.
And it was scary. It looked like Walking Dead or something. Once I managed to honk, I had to honk and say, please let me through. And I pretended to be pregnant. I think that helped. And I just rubbing my belly. I'm like, please, please.
Please let the man who's jerking off get through.
Please, please. Well, yes, I am doing that hand gesture. I don't know why. Oh,
because you've never been pregnant. You don't know.
I was saying I want to get someone pregnant, and I was jerking off, and they pulled out of the way.
That's when they really pull over.
Yeah, they were really understanding at that point.
It was all pro-life people on the freeway that night.
And then, the way I like it. Yeah. And then, so I got on the 134, which crosses over the 101, and looked down. And cars were, yes, bumper to bumper and stopped, but there were some that were sideways and diagonal that were trying to get out, and cars at no point were moving. So people walking around and then cars staggered. So it looked just like Walking Dead.
That's a nightmare.
It was horrifying, and it was all because some selfish fuck thought he was going to kill himself. And they laid down a big old pillow for him to land on.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, and then he had second thoughts for a couple hours.
And he didn't jump?
No.
Onto the pillow?
No, they talked him out of it, actually.
Did Johnny Knoxville ever come out and try to convince him?
Yeah, well, that's all they would have needed. He is so persuasive. I do not know what you're talking about, though.
I don't know. I don't either. It just sounds like some, like, a prank thing, or, you know what I mean?
Oh, right, yeah,
like,
yeah.
We made Steve-O get up on this overpass and pretend he was suicidal.
It seemed like it was a prank. And all day, it affected traffic for hours after. This domino effect, or maybe there's a better example. I think dominoes.
Dominoes. Well, people were tweeting pictures of their street, the cars on the streets outside their house. Because, of course, everyone was just getting off wherever they were on the freeway, probably.
Yeah.
So side streets were just packed.
So you knew about this?
Oh, yeah. People were tweeting about it. I'm addicted to Twitter
stuff. It was unbelievable. I eventually had to get off, go under the go up into the mountains. I just went up in the mountains just so I was moving. And
yes.
I was up there in those houses just trying to get back
just
down.
And screaming.
And then we hung out after we worked into the night because traffic never got... It was so...
Yeah, you can't just stop the 101. No.
And it was just one guy, and he didn't... You know when you're in traffic and you want an answer?
Of course.
You don't, of course, want... I jokingly say there better be bodies up ahead. I don't want that, of course. I want there to be at least a tire or some answer. There was never... It was just cars forever, and then footage of some guy, I guess, by the Hollywood Bowl. I don't know.
See, nobody tweeted the picture of the big pillow. And I think that's like, guys, tell the whole story.
Right.
That's what I need to know about. A huge pillow. Well, I would have loved if there was a sinkhole.
I think that even media got it wrong. I would love it if there's a sinkhole with steam coming out of
steam,
it.
Steam, and then like people accidentally just driving straight into it.
Hey, get out of here, you guys. We're just demons. We live here. I think that this, something so similar to this, should I stay on the 101 or
go all the way over to the left? So,
okay. I think something so similar happened like 1 year ago where a guy was on an overpass. He was trying to commit suicide. They laid a big pillow out for him. People thought this, they were just tweeting the, or searching the keywords and that was coming up and they were reposting those photos. So there was confusion. So maybe they didn't lay down a big pillow for this guy this year, but I hope it just becomes a holiday.
I am.
Where no one ever goes through with it.
But, like, I remember having, that was one nightmare I would have every once in a while, was trying to leave a city that everyone was trying to get out of and being stuck in traffic. That's, to me, that's very nightmarish.
Very, and I think about it all the time because where I live by the beach, there are these tsunami warning signs with an arrow that just points vaguely away from the ocean. That's all I need to know.
That's clear. Thank you.
So everyone, if and when that happens and an alarm goes off, everyone's going to get in their cars. Not me. Me and my roommate are going to run across the street.
Okay.
Get into the Hilton elevator to the top where we know there to be a helicopter pad and food for days. I'm not getting in my car. I'm going to watch my Honda float away.
Hold on a second. Did you squirrel food for days away up there?
No, but they'll have some and I'll steal it.
Oh, like, I see.
Once there's a tsunami or any kind of catastrophe, that's when you can start looting immediately.
True. I agree.
And if it's just going to be continental breakfast, it's not like I'm going to get a widescreen TV.
No, you're just, you just have like 7 tiny boxes of Frosted Flakes. That's not really looting.
Sorry. Yes, I know it's against the law, but I'm hungry.
But it's great.
I know it's against the law, but
they're great. Tsunami. I would say that's the... That's the my trademark in comedy, is I always get it just a tiny, tiny bit wrong. Like I said, it's great instead of they're great.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really mad right now about that, at you and me.
Oh, because I knew it and you didn't know
it. Yep, well, I'm jealous.
I grew up on TV. That's one of the shows I'm doing in Denver. It's called Comedy and Cartoons, and it's so fun because you Mystery Science Theater style comment on these video tapes that this guy has. And, you know, maybe they were during a Christmas special or something, but you just watch the commercials, and they are commercials for cartoons and for toys and for cereal from exactly our era. Like, and you're supposed to come. I had all the jingles memorized. We're in the money with a scholarship from Crest. Or what, like all the, I knew all of them. And people were like, why do you know this? And it's like, because I'm 40.
That's right.
So is the guy that made this tape. And I was raised on television. Every you know, Connect Four. Can I play? Mom!
Can I play?
Like, there's all these. And I know that there are recesses to one's brain because, and I don't mean a break from school. I mean, like, crevasses.
Yes.
Where you store the most worthless of information. And maybe even, God, I hope, algebra and stuff like that that I don't.
Sure.
Or Spanish. And once you watched those tapes, it was so amazing how I knew all of these commercials.
Can I do my favorite jingle that's stuck in my head forever?
Please. Yes, please.
Now there's an American car that's exactly what you've been looking for. Taurus! Now there's an American car that's all I have.
Everything you've been needing.
Taurus!
Taurus! Taurus! Have you driven a Ford lately? Mm-hmm. I know that one, too.
That's a great one. And no one else knows it. Every once in a while, I'll do it, and I give everybody finger guns as I sing it. Taurus!
Do you remember the Ford Aerostar? So it was less involved, but it just went up. Aerostar. I don't know. We had a promotion.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's just scenes of it driving.
No.
Aerostar.
That's right.
Aerostar.
It's a car.
By Ford. Hi, I'm Sally Kirkland Kellerman. Do a Hidden Valley Smoky.
Hidden Valley Ranch.
Spill all over the console of a family wagon.
Wait, did you say Sally Kellerman?
Sally Kirkman? I don't remember.
Kellerman's the right one, isn't it? Remember, we did Sally Kirkland when we talked about it one time. But it's Kellerman.
Not only do we repeat ourselves, we repeat the same mistakes. What a couple.
God bless these assholes.
Well, we're at your place, but what do you want to...
Do we have enough time? What's our time look like?
We're like at like 40 or...
Taurus. Let's drive around a tiny bit more.
Taurus. Okay.
To give the people what they're looking for, which is babbling.
Oh, everyone.
Wait, can you think of another one?
Let's see.
What about introducing Diet Coke? You're gonna drink it just for the taste of it.
Whoa.
Remember
no,
that?
I don't know that.
Yeah, I was there when they invented Diet Coke.
Wow.
When it was a brand new thing. And they were actually trying to sell it like you would drink it just because it tasted good, when Diet Coke tastes like it's like old caramel sauce that's been soaked in nickels. It's terrible. It tastes like cancer
worst.
Itself.
It is. It's a cancer-causing carcinogen in a can.
It continuously cancer-sizing us.
And the only time I ever have had it is at my grandma's house.
Bad on the beverages with your grandma?
Oh, yes. She was not good with anything that you put in your mouth.
Was she one of the...
That sounds weird.
That sounds
just
wrong.
Just about preparing food.
Was she...
One time, she made pizza for us, and she had done some things to it, like diced up some olives, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, crumbled saltines on top of it. And I don't know why, but another dish, saltine-based... was just stewed tomatoes in a base of crumbled saltines. And once that pizza came out, man, we were excited because we're like, finally, something normal that she could not have fucked up. And under the crust was baked into the crust the cardboard that comes with the pizza. Corrugated base of cardboard underneath the crust.
That, oh, no.
Was crispy enough to do the roller cutter right through it. And deliver cardboard into our
mouths. Did you eat it?
Yeah, well, it took a couple bites until I realized, you know, some of this pizza isn't food, Grandmama.
Dear Grandmama.
Dear Grandmama, this is corrugated paper product, Grandmama.
You're trying to poison us, aren't you, Grandmama?
And then her mom, my great-grandma, one time... And it was, I think, to be fair, it's like her 92nd birthday.
Yeah, great-grandma anecdotes don't usually fly because it's like, they shouldn't be there.
Well, this is, it's the way she dealt with it, was, which is like a young person would. She was making coleslaw and dropped the mayonnaise jar on top, on the lid, before she had opened it. And then, and used it anyway, just like took it off. It was all in there. She made... And then as we ate this coleslaw, the corner of my dad's mouth was bleeding. I pulled out a pretty decent round shard from out of my mouth. I think my mom swallowed some. There was just broken. And we were like, there's still glass. And she's like, I'll just eat around it. I dropped the jar.
Ugh.
So we really did. I think we were hungry enough to where we hadn't eaten all day. We just ate around the glass. Do you know one shard of glass can just work its way through your system and cut you to ribbons?
Yeah, you really should not eat any glass.
No, even the smallest amount that a grandma says you can eat.
No.
You should not even have that.
That grandma
much.
Doesn't know shit. Grinding up glass is the way people kill other people that I've seen on a lot of identification Discovery Network.
Yes, she didn't watch any of those Discovery ID networks.
Investigation Discovery.
Investigation Discovery.
Discovery of glass in your food.
My sister wanted to blow dry her hair, and she pulled out this old hair dryer that was the first hair dryer ever invented. And my sister plugged it in and turned it on, and a hot on fire bug, like with giant oversized grasshopper legs, burnt and landed in her hair. It's just crispy bug legs, and she screamed and ran and I think slipped and fell. It was just the funniest cartoon.
That is good stuff.
I love that kind of stuff.
That's genius.
Ugh.
That makes me think, but it's not as funny. It makes me think of my friend, you know, I don't know if you know CJ Arabia, my old...
Oh, yeah, of course. I met you guys together when I visited here in 2001.
We used to roll pretty tight. She has a sister named Julia, and when they were in high school, Julia went to flip her hair forward to blow dry her hair and just slammed her own head down on the on the bathroom counter. I think about it every time I do anything in the bathroom. I think about her... You know how girls in the 80s did that, where they would flip their hair forward and it was like, all those styles and you had to have the biggest hair possible?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of flipping of hair forward, and she just, with full force and velocity, slammed her own head on the down onto the bathroom sink.
It's the best when things like that, no one else is intervening and it's all you doing it to yourself. Like, if someone from a distance saw it, would just look like one of those Jim Carrey things where you're beating yourself up.
Which is what happened to me that time. I'm positive I've told you this, but the time I started to fall down, I was walking to the bank, and it's this weird little brick pathway that's a little bit curved as you go, and I tripped on the last step and started to fall down, but kept walking and trying to get back up. So I was falling for easily like 5 full steps, like halfway down and totally over my legs. And I kept thinking in my head, whoever is seeing this is the luckiest person in the world, because this looks ridiculous. And I finally bit it like 5 steps later, like tried and tried to stay up.
Oh,
and
that's
couldn't
the best.
Do it.
I would have to see that enacted out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're willing to do it once we pull over.
I think so. You have to put down a big pillow for me.
Okay.
I'll do it off the overpass.
There's one. Have you ever had Ivory? Ivory hand soap is specifically, and just Ivory soap in general is, I don't know, it's
the kind my grandma used to use.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful, and it smells like, whoa, you don't want to ingest this, or it's not like Lifebuoy or one of those 50s soaps, but it's pretty intense.
Well, it's soapy, yeah.
They made it in liquid form, and my mom was in the house, but I was washing my hands by myself, which I learned very young to how to do. I was gifted, and it had, you know, it had coagulated at the tip of the pump, and I squirted it, and it squirted soap directly into my eye. Oh, my open eye. I did not. There was no way of even knowing. Oh, it's aimed at my hand. Square right in my eyeball, coating my eye. And it hurt so bad. I just immediately went to run and scream. And then I slipped on the bath mat and hit my head so hard that it was soap in my eye and hit my head. And that taste of iron, taste of blood in my mouth. And we just laughed. My mom came in and laughed, and I think I was mad, but I was laughing because I knew how that would look.
Oh, my God.
Because she heard me screaming and then just came in, and then I thought my feet were in the air. It's the best. That's fair.
Now, in my house, if you did that, and my dad was the one that came in, you'd go, yeah, hey, you got to be careful. When my dad, when we would get hurt, he would get really mad at us. And finally, my mom went to, I was like crying at like whatever I had done. Oh, it was probably the time I almost got hit by a car. But guys, I was showing everybody that I could ride my bike through our driveway. And then the neighbors across the street were doing like a big loop to show everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't hear that there was a car racing up our street.
Shit.
So my parents and their friends' parents that were visiting from out of town all stood there waiting to watch me either get hit or not get hit by a car.
Oh no.
Because I was across the street, like they couldn't do anything about it.
Oh no.
So as I crossed and it went like 1-2, like the car went and I went, or vice versa, I can't remember which one.
No.
And then I didn't even see the car, it went so fast. And I pulled into the driveway, and my dad just picked me up off my bike and slapped my ass.
What?
And I was really mad, and then my mom was like, it scared him very badly to see that. He was shitting a brick.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, and so, of course, he literally would add insult to injury. Or injury to an insulting car almost killing you.
I didn't even know the car was there. I was just like, Dad, embarrass me. And my mom's like, you almost got killed in front of everybody.
Oh, and spanked you in front of the...
Well, it wasn't a... They didn't really spank, but it was just a kind of swat of like, God damn it.
Avoid your neighbor's passive-aggressive... Her neighbor has a... It's a sharp white rock.
Yeah.
In the corner of his lawn. So you get punished if you drive on his grass by your tire getting popped or your car.
well,
getting scraped.
My next door neighbor is, he should have a reality show made about him.
Is he like Boo Radley, kind of?
I wish he was. No, he's, well, he's got crazy eyes. He looks like someone yelled boo at him, that's for sure.
And he's still scared.
He's got crazy eyes, and when my dad found out, so I used to talk shit about my neighbor to my dad all the time, and he'd always be like, how's Chuck doing? I'd be like, he's had an arsenal of guns in the back of his house.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This guy has got, Pete went over there one day because they had to, he had to help him with something, and the whole back, like where my, I have a garage, he's got a room filled with guns.
Oh my God, that's horrifying.
But I'm not scared because, well, either I'll die immediately or he's going to protect us from whatever thing he thinks is coming. I feel very safe, actually.
If something happens, zombies or something real.
Yes.
Can I come here and then he can give us a
100%.
Because I don't even know how to hold a gun.
100%.
I was raised that way. But I think if shit's going on, I want to quickly be one of those guys like in a movie that's just a... I can get used to this.
Totally.
Like, I, all of a sudden, that was a gun. It sounds like me just breathing out my nose, but that was a rapid machine. That was an Uzi.
It will be like Red Dawn, where suddenly we're just boys on the high school football team. Suddenly we're defending our whole town against Russians.
This is our... How much did it scare you watching that when... Because I'd never seen a movie where they were shooting high school kids before.
Yes.
And then you... It's so horrifying when you're a kid and you watch that. And everyone's scared of Russians. We were raised to be scared of Russia.
Yeah.
We were raised to hide under our desks because of Russians. And then there's this movie where they parachute down, shoot up a school, and there's kids hanging out the windows.
Yeah.
And that was the scare. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, it's I'm this is dangerous because that actually happens, but it's domestic.
In our day, it didn't happen.
No, and
in our day, kids didn't shoot up schools, so Russians coming to shoot up schools was fucking crazy.
People talking about war, that was like grandma and grandpa stuff, and then all of a sudden there's a movie where they kill a bunch of kids, and I was like, I'm scared of Russians too. I almost didn't enjoy Yakov Smirnoff till his third album.
That's the reason Yakov Smirnoff was introduced to this country, was to turn down the effects of the Cold War.
He really was. I remember
calm people down.
Or Robin Williams in Moscow on the Hudson. That was my first... Seeing a Russian be a positive person in like there, he was the first happy Russian we were ever introduced to, and that's wrong.
You know, well, also, you know what's wrong? The fact that kids watch that movie, because I also watched that movie in the theater, and it was so GD boring. Mm-hmm. I was like, why am I here? This is not for me.
Yeah, the rest is them like drinking deer blood and, you know, oh, just.
Wait, what?
Patrick Swayze at his worst. Are you talking about Moscow on the Hudson? Or Red Dawn.
I was talking about Moscow on the Hudson.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I saw in the theater when I was like 12 or something.
No, it's just him with his shirt off playing saxophone on a stoop. Like, that's all I remember.
Yeah, he was so New York.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, that was... and that was Russia. No, if you listen to Ice-T's podcast, and you should, he'll be like, yeah, have you seen that that new movie, Unbreakable? Or what? Yeah, it was good. I liked it. Yeah, that guy's a good actor. Yeah. And then Ice-T goes, well, that was movies. Like, he breaks it all down into categories, and it's just the best.
Well, should we rip that off?
Yes, I think we should. We have to have some kind of structure. I mean,
we do
can't
need
do
structure.
This willy-nilly, giggle-babble, gaggle the whole time. That's not... We don't even have a commercial this time.
Ah, fuck. You know what we can say? Large Marge. I can say hi to, I'm going to say her name was one of the following. Zena, Mira, Mina,
Zara.
Zola. Oh, a Portland girl named Zara?
We
have a fan in Portland who introduced herself to me. And said, I love your podcast. And I get so excited when people say that.
Zena Chu?
I can't remember.
Is she red-haired?
I can't remember.
She was a fan of our podcast. So
everybody, hi, Zena. Mm-hmm. If it's you, hi. And then if it's somebody else that she's like, my name was fucking Marjorie, Karen. But which is very possible. But everybody in Portland has cute clothes, an interesting haircut, nice glasses frames. Yeah. They all look like they're interested in things and are living their best lives.
Because they are.
Yeah. So a lot of them look alike. I met a lot of girls who I was like, you're cool. You're my kind of girl.
Yep.
Hey, cool girl. And then it was like, that's all the girls that I met.
That whole city is my kind of girls.
And just, my kind of clothes.
Yeah, I love it.
Bill Murray purses. Come on.
The best. Oh, I want to go there.
Do we have anybody else to thank?
Who do we have to thank? We could go through. I just thank you for everyone being patient. Sometimes we met. Today, I put up an old episode. We're going to.
Oh, this is for next week? Okay.
Yeah, but I wanted people to re-listen to the Eddie Pepitone one.
They don't want to, though. They want new.
I know, but it's better than nothing is what I'm saying.
That's very true.
Stop complaining. Sorry. Now I'm mad.
It's just that I'm mad.
No, I'm mad. Every once in a while, we can't do an episode. Okay, Karen was gone, so I'll be gone next weekend, so we're going to use this one.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, then that's great.
Yeah. So
that works out good. You know what? Then thank you for your patience.
Yes.
I understand as a active podcast listener myself, when you want the new, because you want your people in your head.
I know
that feeling.
But as you know, it could, like in your lives, things pop up, things happen. The day it's not, you know, there's obstacles in life.
I cannot manage. Are you the person that called me from Inglewood? No, couldn't have been.
I
got a
call you from Inglewood.
No, I don't know. In my mind, I immediately pictured you. Something happened to your car, and you were calling me from a dirty payphone.
Oh no! I never use those.
Okay. I can't remember what I was saying anyway.
Well, after you listen to this episode, all you drive heads out there, ride heads. Do you need a...
No, it's too late. It's drive heads.
Okay, all you drive heads out there listening to you, do you need a drive? Go to iTunes, give us a good rating.
Oh, right.
Apparently it means big business.
Tell people that you think might be... This isn't like tell people you think like the same comedy as you. Try to find people, like, say, in your office who seem unhappy.
Yeah.
Go to them and say, do you ever listen to podcasts? Mm-hmm. You might want to try this one where these two people gaggle babble.
Yeah.
Boogle baggle.
Yeah.
The whole time. And bullshit in a car, it'll make
everyone.
You feel good.
I did a podcast today that's more for dudes, I think, the Bone Zone. But man, did we have fun. And it's also on All Things Comedy. We did this thing called the Rant Zone where they'd play metal. And then we go, you know what's really chapping my ass? And we kept doing it. And then Randy Litke would turn on the music. Anyway, that'll be out when this is out.
Too. I love the Bone Zone.
Listen to this, and then listen to the Bone Zone for boy talk, because we talk about balls and wieners and all, everything.
That's the stuff you really need.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that hasn't been discussed yet.
Yeah.
Balls, wieners, where they need to go, where they shouldn't go. All of it. Like, yeah, let's put it on the table.
Put our balls and wieners on the table, everybody.
That's actually a great Norman Lear quote. It is.
A lot of people get credit for it, but that was Norman Lear.
Saying, put your balls and wieners on the table, please, before dinner. All right, I guess I should go in there. Dogs are looking at me from a dark house.
I gotta go to Ponchos and do a comedy show.
Oh, have fun. What can you just real quick run through your set real quick?
I've been depressed. Breakfast in bed is depressing. How am I going to die? Then I'll do my funeral stuff. And then at the end, I was thinking of doing this thing where I pretend to kill myself.
On
just
stage?
Kidding. No.
No,
I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I never know what I'm doing.
Cat Dick. Breakfast in bed is one of my favorite jokes ever.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I can't find one to be as good as it yet, but...
But that's what you aim for.
Thank you.
That's what you aim toward.
It gives me something to aim for. And today, I visited a friend of mine. There's a GoFundMe for my friend Andy Ritchie who's having brain cancer, and he's also having some surgeries. I will post a link to that GoFundMe on my Facebook and Twitter, I think, are the best ways to do it. But look for that after you hear this, and donate if you can, because he's a sweet guy,
and
he's the best.
And a lot of people get caught out. Nobody expects it when, like, catastrophic illness hits.
Yeah.
And then if you don't have insurance at the time or a gig or whatever, you are so screwed. I think everyone knows
he's
this.
In trouble,
but...
yeah. And this insurance bailed on him, and so they moved him out of the hospital into this care facility, and his mom's there. And
it's bad news.
And he's there. He's there, and he's like, he was trying to talk, but it was like our moms. He's like, he's like, I can't think of the words. He was getting so frustrated, but
did he already have the surgery?
Yeah, he's had four now.
Okay.
But I could tell that he was in there wanting to communicate and get better, and I think that he can. He just needs money, and so yeah.
And good care.
Yeah, and good care. So hopefully the money will help get the good care.
If you have a little extra these days, which we know no one does,
right.
But if you do, or just say your grandmother gave you $30,000 on her passing, that you're like, maybe I'll buy boots.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll buy some kind of weird, dumb thing that in 5 years you won't care about. How about instead kick some shit down to Andy Ritchie, who is a good person,
and
his quality of life is suffering.
Yeah, and he needs physical therapy and all that stuff.
Ugh, God forbid. Yeah. God forbid.
Anyway, so that's important. So I want to talk about that.
Yeah, so thank you for listening to that portion. Sometimes we'll get serious. We don't give a fuck.
I'll end it on a serious note. How about that?
No!
Well, we always have our silly little honk at the end.
Oh, that's true, but you can't honk because Chuck will come out here with a Civil War musket filled with baking soda and whatever, something else.
Dressed like a Southern reenactor.
But my favorite thing was when my dad met Chuck, he couldn't stop laughing because in their conversation, because of course Chuck can have a conversation with a man, in their conversation he found out that he used to inspect the windshields in airplanes. And if you saw Chuck's eyes, I feel like I've told you this before, but he has the eyes of a person who looks like he's been inspecting for tiny cracks all his life. Like wild, googly, crazy-ass eyes. So my dad's like, you want to know what Chuck did for a living? And he's like laughing his ass off when he told me.
Oh, that's so great.
It was so funny.
Does Chuck even have glasses?
Oh, yeah. He has big, thick glasses.
Oh, and then better to look for cracks.
His eyes behind the glasses are wild with NRA rage.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's pretty crazy.
I'm worried that his lights are out and we're disturbing him. I want him to be on my side during the zombie apocalypse.
It's going to have to be like a big monologue from me to get him on our side. But we don't have to worry about it until that day because I literally don't talk to him. Because he's the kind of person that puts the rock out, and he's real nosy, and he's just not a nice person, and he's racist.
Oh, wow.
But so is everybody that's 80.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well.
All right. We've solved it.
He's probably a good guy deep down.
I bet deep down.
Just like, much like Boo Radley. He's misunderstood.
I loved Boo Radley.
Just like Misdemeanor Elliot. He's misunderstood.
I want to meet a Boo Radley that carves little toys for me and leaves them in my tree.
See, that's the sweetest.
Can you imagine if someone left you tiny handmade toys in a tree? That's how much he loved you?
Even when I was a kid, I see something like that, I sniff it out, I know the guy's a pederast. You leave me toys, you're about to meet my dad's fists.
You'd say to him?
No one makes me toys except my dad. And he did.
And everyone's like, God damn it, Chris, you're ruining our toy tree.
Not so much carving. He just chopped up old 2x4s and made shapes. And I played with them. Get the occasional splinter, but I was happy to have those toys.
You played with literal stick men.
I did. Oh, those were the days.
Oh, shit.
Well, I got to get out of here. It's good to see you.
Okay, bye. Have a great show.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
Oh, yeah.
D-Y-N-A-R.
Nice. Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.